Shares in Apple fell only slightly this morning on the news that co-founder Steve Jobs is stepping down as CEO because he can no longer continue for health reasons. Jobs is a pancreatic cancer survivor who's had a liver transplant. And he's being heralded by many industry watchers, insiders, and consumers as a magic man, even a demigod, for revolutionizing how we communicate not just once, but several times. The first PC in 1984, the iPod and iTunes 10 years ago, the iPhone in 2007, and, of course, the iPad. Steve Jobs could be a mercurial, demanding micromanager in his quest for innovation, but he has an enormous fan base. Here's one admirer's video posted on YouTube.
Steve Jobs inspires me in so many different ways. I mean, he started his company with his best friend and later on became a huge success when the Mac was released to the public.
With us on the line is Rich Karlgaard, the publisher of Forbes magazine. Rich, you say Steve Jobs changed your life. How so?
We'll start with the idea that Steve Jobs is Henry Ford and Walt Disney rolled into one. And he changed my life with one of his seminal inventions, the Macintosh, which led directly to desktop publishing. Desktop publishing was one of those technologies in the 1980s that dramatically lowered the cost of entry into the magazine business. So it allowed a friend of mine and I to start a magazine called Upside, which covered Silicon Valley. Wouldn't have been possible without desktop publishing. The thing about the Macintosh is that it was conceived with desktop publishing in mind from the get-go, even though such items as laser printers and Adobe font language didn't exist as commercial products at the time. It was Steve Jobs' vision that they would, and they did.
Steve has talked about a calligraphy class he took long ago that had a huge influence on him. This is from the Stanford commencement speech he gave in 2005. He talks about stumbling into things. Let's listen to that sound.
If I had never dropped in on that single course in college, the Mac would have never had multiple typefaces or proportionally spaced fonts. And since Windows just copied the Mac, it's likely that no personal computer would have them.
In many ways, his remarks about calligraphy get at the serendipity of sometimes we fall into something or take a little class and it has an enormous impact on us we didn't expect. How would you say that this calligraphy class he took became serendipity for him?
When the Macintosh came along, the only way that it could penetrate the market was to be an entirely different machine. So this love of calligraphy translated itself into Steve's creating a much different machine. But you know, the history of Steve Jobs is one of serendipity. Here you had a guy who was completely a product of the 1960s counterculture, who happened to grow up in Silicon Valley, and in addition to his countercultural impulses, he also happened to love technology. I remember one story when he was still in high school and he needed a part for a technology project. And what does he do? He calls up David Packard, the founder of Hewlett-Packard. Now, what other high school kid would do that?
So he was confident, he was a go-getter. On the other hand, he also was fired at one point in his life. Here's what he had to say about that.
I didn't see it then, but it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again, less sure about everything. It freed me to enter one of the most creative periods of my life.
That's also from the Stanford commencement speech. It's a certain kind of personality who can see the silver lining in getting fired. How would you describe Steve's personality that resulted in that kind of outlook?
Well, this is the great mystery of Steve Jobs' career, because he was a fantastic entrepreneur, giving us Apple Computer, giving us the Apple II, giving us the Macintosh. Then he brings in an outside CEO, John Sculley from Pepsi, and he's promptly fired. Somehow, in this 12-year period in the wilderness between 1985 and 1997, when he came back to Apple, he did Pixar. He had a failed startup of his own, Next, which failed as a business, but the technology was incorporated into the Macintosh operating system when he came back, so it wasn't really a failure. Somehow, in that 12-year period, he became a super CEO, not just a visionary, not just an entrepreneur. You know, Apple is not just a creator of great products. It's superbly well-run operationally. It's a superbly well-run company financially. He is the all-around CEO. Now, his successor, Tim Cook, has a lot of those attributes. Whether he has the vision remains to be seen.
When Steve Jobs was diagnosed with cancer, it became a seminal event in his life, as it would for many people. But he said it really changed the way he thought about business and what he wanted to accomplish in his business life. Here's exactly what he said at Stanford.
Death is very likely the single best invention of life. It's life's change agent. It clears out the old to make way for the new. Right now, the new is you. But someday, not too long from now, you will gradually become the old and be cleared away. Sorry to be so dramatic, but it's quite true. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life.
How do you think his diagnosis changed him as a businessman?
Well, I certainly do think that it gave him an urgency. Now, he's always been a very urgent person. He's always wanted to move into the future as fast as possible to commit positive revolution. But it did give him an urgency and a poignancy that he may not have had before. Maybe an appreciation for people. It mellowed his sometimes a brush behavior prior to his cancer diagnosis. For all his attributes, he's also known as a person who would fire people capriciously and things like that. You didn't hear those kind of stories after his cancer diagnosis.
Rich, do you think that Steve Jobs had an uncanny ability to recognize what it is in our lives that are so important to us we will spend a lot of money on them?
He really did, and that was his genius. Steve Jobs had a Henry Ford-like existence up until his firing in 1985. The fact that he then came back in 1997 and had a more Walt Disney kind of a career is why I say he was those two rolled into one. He was the superior of both, really. He will go down as the greatest entrepreneur and CEO that America has yet produced.
If you had to describe what made Steve Jobs tick, how would you do that?
He just had tremendous confidence in his vision. Here was a guy who didn't do market surveys before he released new products. He knew what we wanted in advance of our knowing we wanted them. He would make what would seem ridiculous decisions about products, that this shouldn't have a battery or this shouldn't have this kind of a connection, things that would go completely counter-conventional to where everybody thought the industry was going. So, you know, that sensibility, that 60s plus technology plus supreme confidence added up to a most unique figure in American history. As CEO, he will be missed. We pray for his health. He's still going to have input as Apple's chairman, and he was a one of a kind.
Rich Karlgaard is the publisher of Forbes magazine. Rich, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Sasha.